Good morning, and welcome back to Excerpts from the ABBA Archives, the podcast that's not about ABBA, it's about us.
No, it's not. It's about Duel. Yeah. Arrakis.
Well, what's your name, sweetie?
Duel, desert planet. I'm B. Peterson, you're A. Kirby.
Tell me about Duel.
Duel. It's just more Dune. Last week we talked about Dune, as well as Frank Herbert's Dune, as well as Dune and Dune. Anyway, quick recap of Dune Week. David Lynch, fun. Fun stuff. Makes way more sense to me now that I've read the book.
Very enjoyable.
I can't say it's brilliantly written, but it's certainly well produced. And yeah, so I still find it quite enjoyable, even though it's a mess of a movie.
It's a weird watch, and that I think that's part of its charm.
Yes, for sure. We almost got to see it on its 40th anniversary, and then at the last minute, Dad was like, no, we're not going to a movie.
we've fair. Been up like since early.
Yeah, it was a fair decision. But we could have gone to see it on a Dune in the theater. That would have been fun. David Lynch's Dune.
So. It's cool that it was playing.
Yeah. All right, and then you
if
did
I
not
am sniffing,
like.
It's because I'm sick.
Yeah, no, you're sick.
If I'm sniffing, it's because I'm sick.
It's because you're sick.
Yeah. You're saying.
Anyway, you didn't like Frank Herbert's Dune episode 1 of the miniseries.
I was not a fan.
I watched all of it and can say that I'd say it's about as good as David Lynch. Like, all of the versions of Dune that I've seen even out to about as good as each other. They all have different strengths and weaknesses. And the production and acting of Frank Herbert's Dune is a huge drawback. It's clearly very low budget, and the actors are doing a fantastic job. But I'd argue that it has a better script than either the Villeneuve or the Lynch versions. It actually is getting more into the intrigue. Now, that doesn't mean to say, that I don't mean to say that the dialogue is good, but the structure is much more appealing to me, but the visual effects not so much. Anyway, and then Villeneuve version certainly has the grandeur. I just feel that it's completely bland emotionally. And doesn't have that build up to the fall that I keep talking about with Dune that is interesting to me. It's interesting to see the fall, how things unravel. And Villeneuve's version kind of skips over that.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's a beautifully done. I like the time it takes. But as we're reading more of the book, I'm realizing how much stuff it cut out that I really like.
Yeah.
So.
I just feel it's one note emotionally. Like, the Baron is easily the least interesting in the Villeneuve version. In both Lynch and the miniseries, they are wild characters. And in this one, he's just kind of grumbling. And they in an attempt to take out the queerness, like the evil queerness of the Villeneuve version, it turns into he's just a fatphobic stereotype.
And it also, I think we talked about this at one point, that it also takes the queerness out of the universe. That, like,
it's still kind of there, like in the background, but it doesn't call attention to it the way that the other versions do.
Yeah, and like, I didn't notice. I thought it was just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just means that,
like, it has twinks in the background.
I thought those were girls. and like maids or like ladies in waiting, sure. like Atreides had, you know,
okay,
women working for them.
Yeah, anyway.
So that's what I read that as, and then I was like, "Oh no, that makes more sense when you brought it up."
But yeah, production is impeccable. I think the score is great, a great listen. I just think it's a bit one note in the movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see how Dune Part 2, which comes out in 2 days, and we'll be seeing it in IMAX. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But we are about halfway through the book now. I read all of book one to you, and now we're listening to the audiobook because I'm frankly tired of spending hours reading the same book.
I think I have a lot harder time staying focused when it's the audiobook.
Okay.
Because I think I've noticed myself, like, drifting off a little more. I'm, like, spacing out a bit more than when you read.
Okay.
But
that's because I'm so irresistible.
Yeah.
But you're enjoying the book.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And, yeah, we both have a favorite scene now that is not in any of the versions, really. And it's the dinner scene for me, which makes a brief appearance in the miniseries. And yours is the showdown between Jessica and Howat.
And I think that, like, that is, like, that whole subplot of, like, there being, like, some information that comes out that might implicate Jessica as the traitor. And the Duke doesn't suspect her, but he has to pretend like he suspects her, even to her. And doesn't, like, explain it to her, and she doesn't find out that he didn't suspect her until, like, after he's dead. And that, just that whole tension is so interesting. And I wish that they'd, like, included it and, like, leaned into it. Because, like,
appearance in the Villeneuve version is for a couple of sentences, the Duke actually maybe questions her.
Which
is less interesting.
Yeah, it's more interesting if there's a political reason for him to pretend to question her.
Yeah.
And
the political intrigue in the dinner scene is just gone.
Yeah, and it just having, I don't know, I think it's the inter-family tension for me, that, like, this tension is just going so deep that now everyone's suspecting each other, and it's not an us versus them, it's a us versus us.
It's who can we trust, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, in the book, even after the fall, Thufir Hawat still thinks it's Jessica and is encouraged to believe that by the Harkonnens. So I like that tension. I like the tension of the audience knowing the truth and the character not. Like, I think that is a tension that really works for me. And it would be very emotionally resonant, and especially, like, if that's an issue with the Villeneuve version, like, that would, I don't know, that, like, that's something that you could really work, like, make it, I don't know, make it hit.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
And it's also a subplot that really shows Jessica's strength as a character.
Yeah.
And shows her to be dangerous.
Yeah, where it's a bit where she's not crying.
Yeah, yeah.
Which seems to be a lot of her, just, I'm just fretting.
Yeah, she is the mother and the wife.
This is a scene where she doesn't serve that either of those functions.
Yeah, yeah. So I really love that scene for that reason, and it's too bad they didn't include it.
Yeah.
And it's strange that, like, they'd be consistently not including it. You know, like, you'd think that they'd want to include different stuff if they're doing another adaptation. Anyway, you're saying.
Anyway, so that's. And then I read Dune Messiah.
Yeah?
And Dune Messiah, I think I like better than Dune. Certainly better than books 2 and 3 of Dune and Dune as a whole. I probably still like Dune book 1 better than Dune Messiah. But anyway, Dune Messiah is the inversion of Dune. It's about what if the whole book was the build up to the fall? And it's about... So, okay. We have Paul Muad'Dib, Atreides, and we have Leto II, Emperor Leto II. we have Hitler Jesus and Stalin God. So Paul is Hitler Jesus. He is the Messiah. And he is also leading a genocide. And he's like, man, isn't that hard? That sucks for me.
It sucks to be me.
Yeah.
I had to be perceived as the causer of a genocide when I am in fact the causer of that genocide.
Yeah, it plays into like the Fremens are savages, and there's a lot of just inherently problematic stuff with this franchise, with this world, and how Frank Herbert has built it. That being said, this is a story about this is a story about someone who can see the future, and it is about how he knows bad things are going to happen, and it's about how he lets them happen because he's so interested in seeing how it's going to play out. And where it goes with like blindness and like the ways that seeing the future can shape things and how I really enjoy where it goes, and it leads to a climax that is so totally bizarre, and high concept that, yeah, I really appreciate Dune Messiah for what it's trying to tackle. I think its biggest problem is that it is about how charismatic leaders are bad, but it's from the perspective of the charismatic leader, so you're still charmed by him. So as opposed, there are bits like the prologue to Dune Messiah is all I want, in terms of questioning the power hierarchy and religious fanaticism. And there are characters throughout who say these kinds of things. The book as a whole, while its message is on the right side of history, you might say, is still ultimately a book of that is sympathetic to Paul.
And I think from...
And it almost tries to absolve him of any responsibility. That is like, if I had tried to stop it, I just would have become a martyr in the cause. As if he had no agency. And again, it's playing with that, but I don't think it's wholly successful. But it's, yeah, I like what it's trying to tackle as opposed to Dune, which is, you know, the straightforward hero's journey. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you haven't read Dune Messiah, so...
No, I'm...
But you are intrigued by it.
Yeah, and I...
And we picked it up at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, you know, I really would like to read it, and, like, I got a lot of, I don't know, explanation of what was going on as you were reading it, and definitely it's just, like, out of context, or with, like, minimal without the context of having read it. It's very, like...
Wait, what?
What?
what happens?
So I respect the weirdness. Like, I do love me some good weirdness.
Yeah. So there's that. That's Dune Messiah. And now I'm jumping ahead to God Emperor of Dune, because again, Children of Dune is about the build-up for for Leto the Second, and that doesn't interest me, so I'm going to skip ahead to God Emperor of Dune about Stalin God and see his fall. I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it won't be. And maybe I'll just go back and I'll start reading the entire Dune chronology in chronological order. I don't know. maybe. And that leaves us, I think. Oh, and I watched the first episode of Children of Dune, which is the adaptation of Dune Messiah.
Which I think I've seen, like, I saw it a while ago when my mom got it on DVD.
Oh, really?
Or I saw the first, like, at least part of the first episode.
Okay.
I don't remember it very well. I remember, like, my mom trying to, like, explain what was going on here and being like, oh, yeah, because, like, she's read the books, and be like, sure. Ah, yes, I get what they're doing here, and me being like, hmm? I remember, like, James McAvoy, what are you doing here?
Xavier? It won an Emmy for Best Visual Effects, and I think that is hilarious. I mean, it was 2003, but still. Like, it does have better visual effects than Frank Herbert's Dune, but that's like...
The bar is low.
The bar is at the floor, and it's you got up on a little step stool.
I mean, like, I'm so glad you found the step stool.
But you still can't
reach... That's really helping.
You still can't reach the next shelf up, though, is the problem. Anyway. And it's fine. It's like the miniseries again. It's fine. It does some stuff cool. It does it abbreviates it a lot. And as a result, it feels kind of thin. It has a very cool climax. The way it adapts the climax is actually almost The Godfather-esque, and I found that pretty affecting. Mm-hmm. When, yeah, so that was neat. And then we have Dune.
Yes.
The game. which we played.
Finally.
We played. I'd been dreading playing two player forever because I've heard that it's bad and not fun to play. And we played it two player, each as two different factions. You were Fremen and Atreides, and I was Harkonnen and Emperor. And it was fun.
It was really fun. Yeah. I was kind of worried about doing it two player my first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that actually really worked.
In terms of you getting familiar with mechanics?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know, I think playing two factions helped me kind of get a sense of both of them, and having there only be, like, you to play with was, like, I can ask all of my stupid questions.
Sure.
Freely, without holding anyone else up. Yeah, no, I really liked it.
Yeah, and it lasted four turns before I won.
Yeah. We got into the game and I realized how aggressive it was, and I was like, oh yep, I am not winning this.
Tomorrow we're gonna play again. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna swap who we're playing. Do you think you'll play more aggressively once you have Harkonnen and emperor money? I was quite poor as the emperor throughout the entire game. Kept doing big gambits and then not totally winning. And then finally I did. But do you think you'll change playstyle?
I don't know. I'm not quite used to it yet. I haven't done all the research that you've done. Like, you know, this you've watched so many videos.
I've watched hours and hours and hours on every little detail about this game.
And so I went in and I was like, ready. Oh yeah, we're both trying out a game together. And then pretty quickly I realized, no, she just knows how to play and is like, is ready to destroy me at this game. And she had, like, I've not done my homework. I was like, you know, oh, you know, like, for like, thought we'd have, you know, chill first game, and she's just like, no, does not care.
No chill. The spice must flow.
Yeah, I'm certainly gonna miss prescience and seeing the top of every deck.
Yeah, as a Fremen Atreides, you just get to know every single thing that's going to happen. But you'll be fine because you'll have every treachery card.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I had one moment that I was proud of where I think I got you to buy like a cloak.
Oh yeah, I bought a worthless card for a lot of money.
And I was pretty happy with that.
And also I kept getting snoopers. My emperor got three out of the four snoopers, and the Harkonnens had the other snoopers. So I knew that I wouldn't die to a poison weapon, which is all you had, because the Harkonnen got most of the projectile weapons. But yeah, there were some fun battles. The first battle was huge because it was a ton of Atreides versus a ton of emperors.
You just dropped all your emperors in with like my Atreides. Yeah, dropped
all the ten Sardaukar, and then it came down to a tie, which you won because of the storm order. And if I had just... And I knew that I could have played my higher leader, but I decided not to, just in case you tried and killed him or something, because I didn't have any defenses. And yeah, and so yeah, so I could have won, but it was a huge battle right off the top, and then you dialed everyone, and so you lost everyone anyway, and so just no one inhabited it.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then I got to call traitor on Yue, of all people.
Yes.
Called as a Harkonnen.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was fun. No, it was a fun game. It was a really fun game. And let's play more of it, please.
Yeah.
Let's do at least one game a week,
mm-hmm.
Of Dune and one game a week of chess. Mm-hmm. We played a lot of chess last week. Do we want to talk about chess last week?
Oh.
Talk about chess last week.
So we get to the resort and there's this.
You
great...
haven't explained the resort.
Oh,
so we haven't.
We went to Hawaii.
Yeah, we were in Maui last week.
And yeah, her family was nice enough to take us on a trip. Very, very generous, and took us on a trip to Hawaii, and it was super fun.
Yeah, you got to fly kite and see whales and swim with turtles.
It was so cool.
And go to the top of Haleakala. And just a lot of amazing stuff.
I swam with 5 turtles.
You swam with a turtle.
And I heard whale song.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we get to the resort and like she's...
There's a giant chessboard.
Yeah, because they had like big checkers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's packed the chess pieces in case we find a chessboard. And so we find this huge, you know, chessboard just lying there, like, on the ground.
And this was before I realized that we could also use the Carcassonne pieces.
Which was very cool.
Yeah, which, when I realized that, I was like, oh, I have the exact amount, right amount of Carcassonne pieces to do this. So, yeah. Anyway, we ended up playing chess a lot. A lot more than
like,
usual.
And she got super hyped and was like, yeah, let's play chess every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
And it was because, like, you know, like, I know I'm going to lose, but, like, I need to stop being a bad loser. And
it was very, very hopeful and very positive effort. And I, for the record, had a great time playing you.
Uh-huh. I got just more and more despondent every game. And, like, you were mating me, like, really early into the game. And, like, I got frustrated to the point that I injured myself on a knight. Like, I tried to... We were playing in the dark at this point.
Yeah.
And I bend over to grab the knight, and the knight's little ears, the horsey ears, go up between my nail and my finger... And so I just start bleeding, and I'm just mad. And then I play my dad just so that I can beat someone, and then I lose! He mates me somehow!
Yeah, you just, who've had all this practice.
It was completely humiliating. Oh. Completely demoralizing.
Oh.
And I was a bad loser. So we haven't played chess in a bit, and it might be a bit before we play chess again.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
I have my chess. It's called Dune.
Yeah. And I think you would, like, I don't know, like, get demoralized after losing, and then would have a hard time the next game because you were already demoralized.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like playing you, but...
Yeah. Well, I like playing you and other things. And, yeah, I mean, we're now looking forward to being in a month in Washington, in Spokane, with my folks, and playing games all the time.
Yeah.
Tabletop games with more than just us.
Ay.
We'll be able to play Dune 6 player.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway. I love you.
I love you.
I'm also 23 now.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. Anyway, so that was Dune week do and toi.
Yes.
up next, Dune. More Dune. Cat. What?
Dune Week Cat.
Cat?
Cat.
Dune Week Cat.
Cat.
Henry Four?
Cat. There we go.
Cat. Only Cat?
Yeah.
Henry Four? Dune Week. That's Cat. A reference to Before Sunset. Mm-hmm.